Right. I'd like to welcome you to our October 25th, 2022 work session. Before we get started, I'll leave it to the superintendent to just give us a brief insight into the reasons for this work session and what we hope to accomplish in this work session. So, Superintendent.
Thank you. So as we've been receiving public feedback and comment over the last several meetings, as we've had, you know, individual conversations with board members, we've talked about kind of getting an idea of what process we want to use to move forward and what steps we think need to be taken. One of those ideas was the creation of a committee that includes patrons to talk about how to find resolutions that allow, you know, people with opposing views to move forward and be comfortable working together on those. So that's one of the topics to be discussed tonight. That was reviewed with a couple of board members. I think what we want to do is the goal tonight would be that we come out of this with a better understanding as a group of what direction we want to head and what our next steps need to be in terms of mapping out and taking steps on that direction. So I think what we're going to do is go around and, as we did last time, have invite individual board members to share their thoughts about where we are right now, both in terms of the appropriateness and possible work of a committee and the direction we would want to give a committee, or the direction that we feel that we need to be headed as a board as we work towards a resolution. So I think that's the background of kind of where we're at, looking at the feedback we've received, looking at the discussions that we've had, and picking a path moving forward.
Thank you. With Christy's strategic location next to me,
I'll ask Ann
to start.
I'll buy you a Diet Dr. Pepper.
Okay, I sent Larry a text earlier this morning saying I'm somewhat concerned about just the statement of discussion of a committee regarding inclusion, because I felt like I didn't know what to prepare for this meeting. Was I to prepare a statement? Was I just talking about a committee? What was I to do? And then last night I received an email from Frank and thought, whoa, maybe I need to prepare something, because I've never thought of doing that before. And so I've been pondering a lot about this as I receive all of the emails and the public comment. And of course, it's been challenging which of these are public comment, which are emails that I should be responding to. It has really touched me. And it has touched me deeply. I have pondered over the creation of a district policy regarding the issue before us. And that could be a response from a committee. But if they come back with a recommendation for a policy, I would not know how to write that policy. I have read many policies. And some are...
How many?
Oh, probably 40, Frank, if you want to cut into my...
I was thinking hundreds.
Well,
over the course of your 20 years. Of
well, no, on this, on this, if you talk policies in general, okay, I've done thousands of policies. That. But on this specific issue, looking for samples, because what we normally do is every once in a while, we will create a brand new policy. But normally, we go to other policies and use them as samples. We looked at two from the state of Utah, one of which that I seem to think that at least one person on our board is recommending says you have the American flag and you have the state flag and you don't have any other flags in your building. Every policy I've read has unintended consequences on that very thing, on flags. Mount Logan Middle School for many years has had the flags of many nations hanging in their halls. Most of those flags would have to come down because they can be used for political purposes, including such as the Ukrainian flag, which most people didn't even know what it stood for, and now the Ukrainian flag has become a symbol. It's a symbol I greatly support, but someone else may not. At Logan High School, they have encouraged teachers to post pendants, banners, and flags from the universities they graduated from, thereby encouraging students to seek post-secondary education. They also have school banners that they proudly post. The day the governor came, there were all these banners and flags out front saying, "Welcome to Logan High." I also started to think, okay, if we say you can only have the state flag and the federal flag, the United States flag, can we do banners on the street celebrating our valedictorians? Because those are technically banners. When you write policy, you have to think about all the little, you can't run out with an LHS anymore, because that's a banner, that's a policy. Now, perhaps this is a symbol. The 8.5 by 11 stickers that started this discussion were technically not flags. They did have a rainbow background and an inclusive message. I don't know how we would ban symbols from our schools. For example, yesterday I went with the superintendent to Bridger. I saw a Batman symbol over the door. I believe it was the custodian's. It's there year-round. That symbol would probably have to come down if we started limiting symbols. Now, that symbol aligns with state law. You know, it's not a religious symbol, but I don't know, you may think Superman's better than Batman and find it offensive. There also were many, many brand new, that Candace has created a new Bridger Bears logo. That's a symbol. It is a great symbol. They've also adopted the Learning Pit, and they have symbols of the Learning Pit throughout the building. Would that need to then not be used? They're math symbols. Of course, that aligns to curriculum, so thereby, if we're going to say it has to align with curriculum to be a symbol. So perhaps when the Red Cross comes, you can use the Red Cross symbol because that aligns with curriculum. But we start getting really nitpicky about what's allowed and what's not allowed. And it reminds me of last legislative session when the legislators wanted teacher supports post 6 weeks in advance what they were going to teach, because they wanted to know if those teachers were going to corrupt our children. Teachers and most school board members were really concerned about that proposal. It was eventually withdrawn. I have heard that there may be some legislature regarding this, and if there is, then Logan City School District will follow it. Red Ribbon Week, pink symbols for breast cancer awareness, club and sport logos and symbols. I trust our teachers and building administrators to follow state and federal law and make wise choices regarding symbols and flags that are not covered by law. I believe any policy that was created would have unintended consequences. Though I understand parental angst about having a child grow up too early, too fast by being exposed to things beyond their understanding, I am also very concerned about our LGBTQ students and know they are at greater risk of suicide and bullying than other students. I believe we need to make our schools a safe space for all students, and believe our teachers and administrators are working hard and are well equipped to make changes as needed.
Thank you very much. Greg.
I support what Ann says. That's pretty much my thoughts. I don't want to make a policy. I think we'll hurt ourselves more by putting a policy in place and having a fraction of it. We have to figure out how we're going to deal with those situations. And you know, we've operated for all these years without having to have a policy. Our teachers, our administrators, they've all been there and done fine with it, without it. Seems like now we've had one situation develop guy out there that got to do something about it. My feeling is that the people that have got that problem, the two sides need to sit down and in our community figure out how to deal with it going forward, because it's not going to go away. We're going to have this probably growing more and more of an issue in the future. And I don't think the solution is a policy. I think it's a solution is the people of this community coming together and figuring out what's right and what's wrong and finding ways to accept both sides' ideas and putting them together. I don't know how to do that, but I think that's the solution. And it's not the school board's problem to have to solve that, in my opinion. There's a problem that people have created between themselves out there. They need to solve that problem, because our schools have been functioning just fine all these years without that problem. And now suddenly we supposedly have this huge problem that we need to deal with. Deal with it in the community. They need to, these people need to sit down, understand each side, and if they've got some recommendations on things that they would like us to do, advise our teachers and our administrators to do, I'll be glad to listen to those. But that's my spiel on this.
Okay. Thank you, Craig. Buck?
I wish deal with it was that easy. But I don't think that's the case. I think what Ann has said, obviously it has a lot of merit to it, but there's also a lot of merit to it when common sense comes into play with a lot of that. And we don't necessarily always have common sense when we have a lot of these situations happen. I've got two thick files of every email that we've received. I have looked at and studied policies with my wife from Seattle to Portland to Virginia, looking at different things that are happening now because of flexibility that was given early on. That, to me, is somewhat appalling to see what it looks like now. And that is not to say that those very same things would happen if we don't provide some direction. But I do think we need some direction. I think the frustration we're dealing with is that we have had one specific minority group come forward, causing a situation where we need to look at what kinds of things represent every student. And I actually put together a 7, 8, 9 step, I don't know if step is the right word, but bullet points that I thought would be effective for us to consider as we try to analyze. I'm not in favor of a committee. I'm in favor of a committee after we come up with some guidelines to make sure we're adhering to that as a school district and have representation. But I think it's our responsibility as a school board to listen to the feedback, do our homework, do our research, and we can debate these issues forever. We can extend it, we can postpone. We've had more feedback in the last 6 weeks than we've had in the last 5 years, except for dual language immersion.
And the artwork.
And the artwork. Dual language immersion, I think, is a prime example of where we were in a position to make decisions that we knew was not going to please every person, every parent, every student, and we see positive results of what happened with those decisions, and we see some frustrations still because of that. So we extended that feedback for close to a year, if I'm not mistaken, so that we could have open forums, so that we could capture feedback, But at the end of the day, it was up to us to make a decision based on that information. And in my mind, we've had plenty of feedback to take a look at what we have currently and what it is that we'd really like to provide going forward. I just want to review some percentages again and some groupings for us to consider. I think if you saw my referral, I think the Adams Elementary School right now is at the forefront because it's a blue ribbon school. And it's the school that I work with the most. The student demographics, we have African American students at 2%. We have Caucasian 61%. We have Hispanic 24%. Hawaiian Pacific Islanders 5%. Asians 1%. Native Americans 3%. And two or more races designated as 4%. You can tell from those percentages how diverse our population is in the Logan City School District. Then you can pop into subgroups of refugees, of the Pride community. You can look at Latinos in Action. You can go into athletics. There are a whole bunch of numerous groups that meet after school that are providing clubs for people who are more focused and interested in a specific group than another. And that's an opportunity for them to meet. So based on these percentages, I find it very hard to understand how anything but a U.S. flag and a state flag represents every one of these groups. Certainly, if you want to refer to a rainbow flag or to Black Lives Matter signage or any of several others, they're very specific to the group. That's the origination and the purpose for their creation in the first place. They were not created to represent all of these different groups. And that's why, as I look at the research and look at the percentages of what we are trying to do, I think if we try to just go ahead and allow whatever somebody wants to throw up, a lot of these do have a specific orientation, a specific purpose. And we're not able to define who is in favor, who's not in favor, who is upset, who's not upset, by putting one up over another. And that concerns me greatly. We want to stop any bullying whatsoever. Our intent as a board is safety for every one of our students. We cringe at the thought of any student or adult committing suicide. And we want to try to do everything we can for every student to not be placed in that situation. Interestingly, I don't know if you received these or read these, but we received some reports and university papers over the last, that are surveys or what have you, over the past 48 years. And in my mind, as I looked at this report, which is primarily studying transgender bullying, a lot of those different facets, they make a recommendation for six or seven different profiles, primarily at the high school level. And I think that's where we need to consider what's important to us. We're looking at a completely different maturity level when we look at high school students versus a five-year-old on up to eighth graders. And I think our policy, whatever we call it, guidelines, should be split according to that. We have maturation courses. Frank, you could confirm that by curriculum or by state law, what have you, but there are more specific age groups that we deem at a point where they're finally at a maturation point to understand. Those are not at 5 and 6 years of age. Let me just read these 7 profiles and do so keeping in mind that before any of this happened over the last 6 weeks, everything that I heard from most of the people in public comment was that our school district was always already seen as one of the most accepting school districts in Cache Valley and in Northern Utah. That was stated numerous times before this little instance happened or anything about it. So that's why we need to have these things. The 7 profiles that I think are very important for us to relate to re-emphasize, because I think we already do the majority of things. Having clubs available after school for groups. Now, if you ask yourself yes or no, do we have those? Clearly we do. And we make every attempt to provide whatever's necessary and have teacher support for those. Identifying safe spaces. Now, who in the state of Utah has made more effort than we have to dedicate ESSER funds to mental wellness, to provide a safe space within every classroom in the school district for any student who has any concern whatsoever, needs to take a break, needs to meet with their teacher for a few minutes, or just needs to meditate and think to regather their thoughts and come back into action. Prohibiting harassment based on orientation, gender identity, race. I would guess that we have a no tolerance policy, essentially. And if it's not, it should be.
It's no tolerance.
In every school district, correct? We have a no tolerance policy for bullying, for discrimination, for anything whatsoever. Encourage our staff to attend professional development. We can continue to encourage more of this, obviously, as it goes along. None of our teachers are psychologists. We have counselors for those specific purposes, but our teachers clearly work as hard as they can to understand good philosophy, to be prepared when situations do occur, to help them understand how to help our students. And I know, Frank, that you support that completely. On a continued basis. Facilitating access to out-of-school health service providers. Frank, you would speak to that better than any of us, but I'm sure that our efforts are to do just that, to understand what resources are available for all of our teachers, our students, and our administrators, for whatever the circumstances. And I guess the question is, do we already provide and work as hard as we can to provide those items? And in my mindset, we do. If you walk out in the hallway in this old school, you see motivational statements all along the ceiling. And there isn't one of those that you could say is dictated towards one student over another. And to me, that's what our curriculum is based on. That's what public education is based on, is that we are doing everything we can to provide a positive, safe place for every one of our students. And getting down specifically to one, whether you want to call it political or not, or whatever the agenda might be for those things, does start to limit it down to one student over another student or group over another group. So those are my thoughts. I think that we should do everything we can to prevent suicide. And the other pictures that I have taken as I've driven around the valley recently are more positive signage that could be in front of your front yard, and or it could be in front of a school, in any school in the valley. That would be seen as a positive statement. And it's the Suicide Coalition. There is nothing specific to any individual. It is for every individual. And to me, those are what public education should be doing, is general positivity. It's a campaign for positivity that I think we should latch on to any way we can. So I would consider that as one of the steps that we could do as we look at our best way to move forward. And I do believe that some things should be limited. I've talked to several school teachers who are at different schools, middle school, Edith Bowman, and Richard, and they were actually a little surprised that we didn't already have a policy, because over the past 3 to 5 years, they recall being told by their administrators that there were certain things that they could not put up in their classrooms. So I think we have more precedents than we are giving ourselves credit for, whether we need to research, what have you. I think there is already precedence that we could rely on to make sure that we just clarify. And that's what these types of situations do. They wake us up to what do we currently have, what do we currently need to do to provide that safe place for every student here. So I've said a lot, I've said too much, but I feel strongly about all of this collective research that and feedback that we've been given, that I think, in my mind, gives us a clear direction on what we should do moving forward to make sure it's inclusive of every student.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I don't recall a time that I've been on the board that we've drafted policy in under circumstances that we're currently in. Usually we, as a Board of Education, policies are written well in advance so that when situations like this happen, we already know how to move forward. That we're not scrambling to figure out, well, what is our policy, because we don't have a policy. So had we written a policy 5, 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago, we would be having a different conversation right now. And I believe that policy is there, especially written by the board. Of course, we're the policy writers, but we have policies to ensure that our students are safe, that our teachers are safe, our staff is safe, and that we have consistent application of enforcement of procedure across the district. So I believe that this situation, and it really hit home to me today as I was running errands, and I went past a business, and they had 9 flags hanging in their window, big flags, one of which was the pride flag. And I didn't stop to, you know, figure out which ones were which, but obviously those 9 flags mean something to that business. they identify with something. I don't know what it is. I didn't have time to check it out, but it was really stark to me that, and I agree with Buck, that it's our duty to come up with some kind of policy to protect us in the future, because I don't believe it's going to stop. And I believe that if you open the door for one, we have to open the door for all. And we can't just wait till the next thing happens. So we're always chasing down what to do. So, and I don't know what that policy is. Ann's correct. I had a situation where my son was, when he was in high school, and I don't remember if I told you this, but, and I won't say the teacher because you might know who it is, but he was very troubled by going into this teacher's space because it displayed lots of memorabilia from a sports person that my son didn't like at all. And it was very awkward for him to go in there. So I understand that, you know, from a personal reason, that sometimes things are awkward that teachers put up. But I don't think it's fair for, not fair is not the right word. I think that we need to ensure that we aren't taking away rights of students to be in school. They all need to be welcome in public education, to learn and to be safe, to not feel bullied, to feel comfortable with their teachers and their environment. And we cannot say that it's not fair for the board to say, well, we're only going to provide safety for these students because they have a flag, whereas the student that may feel uncomfortable with the pride flag, they may feel suicidal. They may have a problem with it. Either way, there's going to be issues with, it's not us to tell parents or students how they feel about displaying of certain things, because they may take their own interpretation of how they feel about it. So moving forward, and I'm not sure exactly how you address what Ann suggested. I mean, certainly we don't want to limit it so much that you can't display a valedictorian banner. I mean, that certainly isn't our intent, is to make schools so sterile that they're almost kind of like this room where there's not a thing up. We definitely want them to be inviting and welcoming and safe and you know, welcoming to all students. So I do believe that it's our responsibility as a board to draft some form of policy to be able to address it, so that moving forward we know what to do. And I understand that we may not make everybody happy. It's going to be a tough decision regardless, because you've got, people are passionate about their kids, as they should be. Everyone loves their children. Everybody wants the best for them. Everybody has their own goals and aspirations about what they want their children to do and to be. And we have to, you know, listen to everybody, because it's their right as parents to be able to parent their children the way they want to. And I understand that children have different trials and different circumstances where they're coming to school under hardship. You know, when they have, and it breaks my heart, regardless of what their situation is. No child in my mind should come to school with hardships. They should all come happy with people who love them and supplies and their belly full. But they do. They come to us, you know, tattered and torn sometimes, and we need to love them all. And I'm probably talking in circles, but I do believe that we need to come up with policy addressing the issue now. And I agree with Ann. You know, we may see this come to the legislature soon, and you know, they may tell us what we have to do in the future, but I would hope that we could be at least proactive a little bit to be able to be ahead of that versus being behind the eight ball.
Thank you. I'd like to thank my fellow board members with their input today. It's an emotional issue. It's a personal issue. And I appreciate the respective dialogue we've had as a group over the last 6 to 8 weeks. I think a lot of us will acknowledge that this isn't a topic that has one right answer. This isn't a topic that is going to satisfy whatever direction we go, everyone. With that said, reflecting back over the last almost 2 years of being in this position of president of the board, which has been an honor, one of my joys every time we meet is the ability to verbalize our district mission statement, which in my mind guides basically everything that we are about and what we should do. And I know you've heard it enough that you probably got it memorized, but our mission is to ensure all students leave our schools ready to create a positive future for themselves and their community. What that means to me is that all of our children should feel included, supported, and safe in all of our classrooms and schools. And I don't think there's anybody in here that would disagree with that. I think we all believe that. Our personal experiences contribute to our values and our beliefs as individuals. I have personal experience that deals with the need for inclusion in my own family, experiences my children have had. I've also, unfortunately, have personally felt the impact of a loved one's suicide. Okay, I've dealt with that. And I'm not going to diminish the importance of either of those two things, but those have guided where I'm at today at 64 years of age, those experiences. And after listening to our patrons in a variety of means, variety of communication, and I appreciate the dialogue we've had created by our community. I mean, I've learned some things. In no way have I had all the answers and all the perspectives. And I haven't always agreed with them, but that's their perspective. It's not my place to say, oh, no, you're wrong. No, that's what you've lived. That's what you experience maybe every day. But at this point in time, you know, I concur with Ann and Greg in that I do not and will not support a policy that restricts the display of symbols of any sort that would represent inclusion. And I wanted something I've thought about a great deal. You know, when we talk about inclusion in this topic, in this discussion, it's been one group that's been focused on as part of being included. In my mind, it's not one group. We need to be including everybody. Yeah, this group, the flag was created to represent that one group. When I talk about inclusion and I hear people say, well, it represents inclusion, I'm talking about those that are different socioeconomically, different ethnically, different religions, different sexual orientations. You know, we're all of the human race, we all need to be included. I have a hard time saying that this is only applicable to one group. That's where I'm at. And I've stated before, and you guys have heard this, that symbols and flags are not univocal. Meaning, again, you've heard me say this, that there is never going to be a single interpretation of a symbol by a community in terms of its meaning. There's going to be disagreement. I view the pride flag as a symbol of inclusion. Others view it as a political statement. That's the reality of our world. We live in a pretty diverse world. We're not all going to have the same experiences and the same perspectives. Another thing I want to verbalize, and again, I think I'm probably speaking for all of us, is that I trust our classroom teachers and our administrators, both on the building level and the district level, to provide safe, welcoming, and inclusive learning environments. And from my perspective, if a teacher chooses based on her perceived needs of her class or a student in her class, that there needs to be a flag that's rainbow on the door, I'll support that teacher. You know, being in the classroom for 36 years, and Frank's married to a teacher, I was married to a teacher, teachers have a pretty innate ability to understand what their students' needs are. I trust that teacher. You know, if this teacher at Hillcrest had the flag, she felt that that was going to be something positive and that student needed it, I trust her. I'm not going to question her judgment. Now, I know people will disagree with that. But as a district, and it's been stated tonight, or this afternoon, I believe that it's imperative that we have ongoing discussions with all of our employees, faculty, staff, administrators, about what is acceptable under state statute and existing board policy in terms of creating inclusive, welcoming environments. We need to talk about that consistently. It's not, you know, going back to, again, my experience as a teacher, the first few days superintendent can, and you know, you're inundated the first few days of the school year with all these policies, and as a teacher, you're thinking, I don't want any error, we don't want any more policies. I need to get ready for class. So I think it's a discussion that has to be repeated. And not in a threatening way, but just in a way that says, you know, we just want to revisit this because this is a concern that we have as a board or we have as a district or our community has. Again, I still trust our employees, but they also need to be professionally developed, educated, communicated with. You know, and I've taken up a lot of time, but just to reiterate, again, I'm opposed to the creation of any board policy that's going to limit or prohibit signs or symbols of inclusion in our schools. And when we talk about signs and symbols, you know, they're not static in their meaning. I'll give you one good example. When I see a swastika, I think of Nazi Germany. But how many of us know that the swastika comes from Sanskrit, which means good fortune or well-being? It has a totally different meaning to that group of people. And yes, we look at that flag and say, yeah, it was created, the pride flag, it was created for that group. But I also think there are others that are not particularly specifically in that group that can also look at that and say, hey, this is a safe spot. It's not just a safe spot for LGBTQ students. This is a safe spot for me. And again, that's my, you know, my feeling. And I acknowledge and respect those of you here that disagree with me, and the patrons that are obviously going to be some that disagree with me and us. But I'd hope that those would also, people would also respect my perspective and my experiences and my stance as well. So, thank you. We've said a lot.
I have a couple of comments that I can just add to that that I forgot to mention. Number one, I think we clearly do want to totally respect our teachers to exercise common sense and what they put in their classrooms. I think it's offensive, unintendedly so, that because my wife does not fly one of these flags in her classroom, that it would be perceived as an unsafe place. And I'm offended by that kind of an insinuation, if anybody would ever make it, because our teachers have already created safe spaces, I think, without adding extra flags for specific groups. There, your argument almost came across as swastikas were a positive thing at one point.
It is for some people.
So what happens if somebody decides, well, okay, the interpretation is let's put up the swastika and that's okay?
There's probably a discussion with an administrator.
We have Jewish people.
We talk about the community being a part of our school and our district here. And praying to the classroom last week, just went in there. Every one of those kids spoke Spanish as the primary language. And there were the flags of their countries that they shared from their country. Now, if we go to this neutral policy and we say flag of the United States, the flag of Utah, some kid from Mexico who's been in this country maybe a couple of years, now can't see in the classroom a flag from his country.
Was that a dual language immersion class?
No, this was a homeroom class.
The teacher primarily teaches English to English language learners, and then in the homeroom.
So there's a common sense purpose. There are all of these things. Where do we draw the line? That's what I don't know. I don't know how to do that.
You know, before we continue, Frank, I apologize if that's the way you took that, because that's not my intent.
I didn't mean it that way, Larry. I was just using that as an example, is that
if
we don't have guidelines, then everybody's up to their own interpretation.
But in my mind, when we say I trust our teachers, there may be a teacher like Nancy that chooses not to have it. I trust her that she's doing what's right for her class.
Kids will be safe.
Because they're going to be safe. I'm not questioning that you're not safe without the flag. I'm basically saying that as a teacher, Nancy feels like, and I'm sure she does 100%, her students feel safe and included. There may be other teachers that feel like their students may need that visual representation to feel safe and included. So, you know, I can't remember the exact numbers, but we're not talking about every classroom in our school district with a pride flag. We're talking about a handful in the elementary level. In fact, we're talking about Hillcrest,
it's
right?
Like 25%.
No.
So, do you tell us that?
If you look at the high school and the middle school, they're between 15-25% on how many teachers currently have imagery somewhere in their classroom.
Elementary,
very small, maybe 2%.
So we're not, you know, and this is in response to a patron's concern, and this isn't in response to something that a teacher, again, don't take this wrong, has done something wrong. The teacher's intent, in my mind, was to help that student and that student's parents feel included. That's where I'm at. And like, you know, Frank's statistics, so 2% have flags, 98% don't. I'm not saying 98% are creating an unsafe environment. I'm just saying that they need that. If that's what they feel that their students need, why should I be the one to say, don't do that? And again, it comes back to being the classroom teacher in me. So, yes, Ann.
Larry, at one time you had mentioned that the board has this discussion, perhaps we could issue a statement so that we let our patrons know who this is. In a work session, it's not during a regular meeting. I could see us perhaps having a discussion in a regular meeting after some individuals have maybe worked on a statement, so that we do have a statement that could go to the press. We do have a statement that we could respond to. There have been many times when we've had an issue come up where we've said to the superintendent, please help us draft a statement that when I get a phone call or I get an email, that this is a statement that board all agrees on and that we can respond to our community. That may be something that we could draft and work on in board meeting, a statement that shows support of our teachers, our administrators, common sense, inclusion of all students, inclusion of students who are marginalized, that we want our schools to be a wonderful place. I don't know, but like I say, when I have tried to come up with a policy, I don't want to be way over here or way over here, and perhaps what Larry had mentioned to me, coming up with a statement saying, hey everyone, we have heard you. We have listened, we have read, we have had hours of thought and angst. When I pick my raspberries, I'm thinking about what do we do? I've had discussions with many people. If we could at least agree perhaps on coming up with a statement and working on it in a session where other people, more people than these few who are available at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon, could hear us talk about it, I think it would go a long way to helping individuals on both sides, because the way we have public comment set up, we listen, we don't say anything, we may show, and I know, my family has told me that my face tells too much, that I, you know, you can tell exactly how I feel. But that's all we have shown our community. And I would like to be able, in a meeting that is broadcast, that is available, that we have a statement that we send out and we have a unified response. I don't know that we're there yet.
I don't think policy is even the right word. Maybe that's what's confusing us, is because we're all gun-shy and elected that this has to be a policy. Again, as I mentioned earlier, I think there is already precedence within our district and within the state of Utah and within the State Board of Education to give guidelines. So I would suggest that guidelines are more appropriate than creating a policy, if you will. Because I think our teachers deserve that. I think our students deserve that. That we have guidelines of what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. That's not a policy that we have to put in stone. But what Christy was referring to were a policy 25 years ago, that we're in a completely different society, a completely different environment, that yes, probably doesn't require policy, but it does require guidelines from administrators to work with teachers to provide that safety for our students all the way in. That's what I would do.
Larry, many years ago, I was on the board when the issue of gay straight alliance clubs came up. And you remember, it was a big issue in some other school districts. And I, as a very conservative person, I realize I've moderated a whole bunch or else conservatism has moved. But at first I thought, oh, we don't want that. And then I talked to Jane Nichols. And, you know, we set up a policy that follows state guidelines. And you talk to a Jane Nichols who said, this is not a club for everybody. But we have students who need this club. And it's not going to hurt the other students for us to have this club. And you know what? It hasn't been a club that has hurt other students that I know of over the years. And not everyone that's in there is a student who is part of the marginalized group. They are people who want to support what started out as the Gay Straight Alliance. And so I think we can come up with something, like you say, whether it's guidelines or a statement or a combination thereof, that would, our teachers are concerned about what they can do and what they can't.
Couple of thoughts, sorry, Christy. I have discussed this with Greg, and Greg made a very good point in my mind in terms of getting people together that may have differing views to talk about this is within the community. I don't think there's anything wrong with that dialogue. Again, I think we've modeled, hopefully, over the 6 to 8 weeks we've been discussing this, you know, the respective dialogue that can be productive. I just don't want to push that committee idea out of the way yet. I think that's something that I would like us to discuss further. And like I said, I respect all of your views. Just, you know, we agree to disagree on some things. But you know, you're right, and the GSA at the time was a big deal.
It wasn't a really big deal.
But Jane hit it on the head when she said it's not necessarily causing harm to anybody else, but it is helping, and that's what we're here for.
Which is the club, correct?
Yes.
One of the 6 things that I mentioned in the first, clubs.
But I have a hard time, and this is my own personal view, Frank, seeing how a pride flag harms a child. That's my view, I know there are some parents that don't want to have that discussion, and there were discussions I didn't want to have with my 5-year-old at the time, but I was in control of the discussion. You know, it wasn't a big deal 30 years ago when my kids were, you know, 25 years ago. But if I had a five-year-old come to me now and say, well, what's the pride flag? My response would be, as an adult guiding the discussion, it's a symbol of inclusion. I'm not going to get into how it was created. That's my prerogative as a parent. And I don't see how my telling my five-year-old son or daughter that that means inclusion to us as a family harms them. That's my view. I'm not going to get into things that they're not ready to talk about.
We do have research that came from our feedback that says differently.
And there's also...
That's the limit of public education, is that we do not bring sexual education into our curriculum.
And I don't see it as sexual education.
Well, to make a discussion, you would have to address that at some point.
I don't think so as a parent.
Well,
and if a teacher brought it up, then we have means to deal with that. I'm not going to make it sexual as a parent with my five-year-old. That's just me.
And back to your point, you're suggesting that here in the next few weeks we draft some type of a statement to go out stating that we don't have a resolution of this, but we trust our faculty, we trust our administrators, recognize the community's issue here, and that we would like here to truly believe we can handle this in a reasonable manner, given some time to come up with some solutions. Is that what you're suggesting?
That was one of the things I was suggesting, but I think we would need some people to sit down and draft that and have the board do like we so often do, wordsmith something, and decide, can all five of us buy into that statement? What are the ramifications of that statement? Does that statement include guidelines? Is it just a statement? I don't think we're ready to say exactly what that might be, but I would sure like something, whether it's guidelines or a statement, to be able to say, you know, this issue came up in our school district. And after all this input, we have tried to land on this, and we feel comfortable with this.
Well, whether we get there, sorry, Christy, go ahead.
Well, the board has issued statements in the past, resolutions or statements or whatever. We've even adopted them, so that isn't uncommon. But guidelines don't usually come from the board. The board sets policy. The guidelines come from administration or superintendent. We don't set guidelines. That's not our job. Our job is policy. So if we're going to set a resolution, then that it's different than setting a resolution with guidelines. Because to me, you're going to say guidelines, but the board can't enforce guidelines. It's not our job to set guidelines. It's our job to set policy.
Is a resolution an action item?
A resolution would be something that we
discussion
could...
Discussion and then action.
Yeah, and you could get all five people to agree to it,
yeah.
But you don't want to send a resolution out that's
right,
only
not,
supported by...
But it's an action item on the agenda is what I'm asking.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. You could also do a statement that's similar ask administration to issue guidelines to that statement or to that resolution.
And I would assume that in that case you'd have to have some kind of standard guidelines, because otherwise, well, maybe not. I don't know. If you'd have to have standard guidelines, that would be a question for superintendent, because you wouldn't want to have different guidelines for each school because they're all different.
I think we want to standardize the guidelines, but you could, if you wanted to make it as broad as, you know, here are guiding principles, and we tie it into statements that are already in educator ethics as outlined by state board rule. We tie it into some of those. I think you could start with a statement of, you know, belief of interest of protecting safety, providing consistent positive learning environment and work environment. Tie that into things that are in educator ethics, identify guiding principles, and then possibly consider some examples of what are these guiding principles look like in a given situation. And recognizing the challenge with putting examples out there is everybody wants more. They say, well, what about? That's where you start the whatabouts. Whereas if you focus on, and focusing just on principles and how you apply those doesn't necessarily get rid of the whatabouts.
But it's easier to recognize when the whatabout comes up, what would apply to the guiding
principles. What's the principle
that
applies?
Which you could roll that into a policy.
Yeah, if the board if the board saw these are the things that we really can get behind and we support, and here's what it would look like in its implementation, yeah, we could roll that into a policy.
Before we conclude, Superintendent, I'll give you the opportunity to weigh in if you'd like.
What do you need from us?
What we need is exactly what you all, the board, have done tonight is discussion of what we're trying to do. I'm in a very fortunate position that I get to meet with you all one-on-one and talk about these things. And I have to say that I am extremely appreciative of the consistent, overwhelming focus that each of you have as board members on how do we take care of kids. Because ultimately, that's what the whole discussion is about. How do we take care of kids? And this issue has caused us all to have some extremely personal conversations and reflect on some very personal experiences that make this issue extremely close for many of us. And that's not something that we get to share in public meetings, necessarily. We listen a lot. But I am very fortunate that I've been able to hear you all share why this is so personal and why you are so committed to finding a resolution that addresses this the breadth of needs that you're hearing. Because no one who has communicated with you all as board members has communicated casually because they couldn't think of any other thing they wanted to communicate with you about. It's because there are strong personal emotions tied to this, and that's what makes it sticky. With some of you, we've talked about how do we take something that we feel so strongly about personally, and when we talk about one-on-one conversations we would have with a person, and the ways we would communicate empathy and love and support, how do you institutionalize that? And that's been a recurring question. How do we take what we're feeling and what we're thinking and come up with a way to institutionalize it in a way that doesn't get misinterpreted, doesn't have side effects or unintended outcomes that were not intended or desired at all, and really trying to address that. So this tonight has been perfect, and I think it's a reflection that there will be ongoing conversations. My personal feelings is I do think guidance for teachers is valuable, because I think teachers have a lot of questions. Okay, well, what can I do? There are questions of what's appropriate, because you have teachers who obviously don't want to do anything that's inappropriate. There's a question of how will my decision as a teacher be perceived, and then how will that be communicated to me, whether I choose to display something or not. Will I be viewed as, it's just how will I be viewed? If I have a person, if we have an employee who comes from a very religiously conservative background and they choose to have a flag on display, how will they be viewed as denying a portion of their faith or their religion? I won't share details, but Board Member Cooley shared an example with me yesterday of a situation where that has occurred with a person that she knows. A person who comes from a religiously conservative background has chosen to display symbols in support of individuals who are gay, lesbian, transgender, and that person has been subjected to backlash for having it. We have other teachers, and we see examples of this nationally, where individuals who have chosen to who have not chosen to display these symbols have been viewed as and labeled as intolerant or less caring or less committed to student welfare. And I've had teachers who've come to me who are extremely committed to student well-being, who've expressed, I'm concerned that if I don't put something up, how do I get interpreted? How do I get presented to the community? And one of my goals from the very beginning has been, whatever we land on, it has to be something that does, that protects students and protects our staff, and does so in a way that doesn't cause teachers to become targets. So we're going to keep working through this. So I do think guidelines are valuable for teachers. I think guidelines are more appropriate than a policy at this point. But I do think some direction for staff on what they can do and how we put that direction in place. A significant part of my career has been spent working with students from marginalized groups, primarily ethnic and language minorities. But when those groups come to me and say they need something, my tendency is to say, okay, how can I provide it? And how we provide that is the big question right now. What is the best way to provide what's being requested, which is compassion and safety and inclusion? And how do we do that for all of our students? So I appreciate what's gone on tonight. I appreciate all of the background conversations that have taken place. And I appreciate the board's willingness to keep working on this so we make sure that where we land is the place that we need to land for all the kids in our district. So, thanks.
Thank you.
That was circular and rambling, but thank you.
Welcome to the club.
Work session at 4:40. Is that clock right?
Yes.
Okay. 4:40 p.m. and reconvene for regular session at 5:00.